Ways to Go Beyond and Why They Work by Rupert Sheldrake. Chapter 4, Episode 8, Seemingly Autonomous Entities. In the modern secular world, people who take ayahuasca, DMT, magic mushrooms, LSD and other visionary substances are often surprised to encounter entities, or some of which are friendly, some neutral and some terrifying. In his research on the effects of DMT, Strassman found that many of his volunteers encountered beings, aliens, guides, and helpers. Some of them looked like clowns, insects, spiders, reptiles, cacti, and stick figures. And some of these experiences were like alien abduction scenarios. Volunteers find themselves on a bed or in a landing bay, research environment, or high technology room. The highly intelligent beings of this other world are interested in the subject, seemingly ready for this or her arrival and wasting no time in getting to work. Their business appeared to be testing, examining, probing, and even modifying the volunteer's mind and body. Strassman's subjects were indeed in a research setting. They were, in fact, being probed and modified by intelligent beings who were ready for their arrival for the testing station. They received an intravenous injection of the drug and had their blood pressure monitored and blood samples taken while they were under the influence of DMT. Perhaps the highly intelligent aliens who were testing and probing them were transformed as Trussman and his assistants. Nevertheless, many people who have taken psychedelics encounter seemingly autonomous beings, even when they are not in research settings. These beings seem to have a life of their own. Some are friendly, some neutral, some threatening and dangerous. People also encounter deceased ancestors, saints, angels, winged creatures, animal spirits, chimeras, part human, part animal, gods and goddesses, the Buddha, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Jesus Christ, and God. In the words of shamanism and religion, the existence of autonomous spirit beings, such as animal spirits, decreased ancestors, demons, angels, devas, dakinis, gods and goddesses, is taken for granted. People encounter other kinds of beings in their dreams and in visionary states. Some Hindus, for example, have dreams of Ganesh, the elephant-headed god, and other Hindu gods and goddesses, and even discuss them on online forums. Are these beings simply products of the experiencer's mind? As Terence McKenna commented, for the psychedelic voyager, the intuition is made of mind, but not of my mind. Maybe they are part of the collective unconscious, a kind of collective memory. If lots of people in India look at images of Ganesh, a dream about Ganesh, he may take on an autonomous life of his own within the collective unconscious. If he appears in someone's dream, he is a product of mind, but not only of the dreamer's mind. His properties may depend on many human minds and on stories told about him. But at the same time, he may be more than a collective product of human minds. He may be a channel for a divine consciousness that interacts with human minds through this biologically impossible form. For those who believe that there may be many kinds of consciousness beyond those in human and animal brains, the question is, where does all this stop? Are there innumerable ancestors out there in the spirit realm, and animal spirits, and the spirits of extinct species, and the spirits of fictional characters, and the spirits created by myths and images, and human representations of gods and goddesses, and human-animal hybrids like centaurs or Ganesh? And beyond this collective realm of forms and memories, are there intelligences throughout the universe, minds in planets, stars and galaxies? Is there a cosmic mind? Is there a mind beyond the cosmos? Or is it all in our brains? In thinking about these questions, it is helpful to start from dreams. We all dream, though many of us forget most of our dreams and do not take very seriously the ones we remember. They rarely change our lives, but some people pay attention to their dreams, and when they do so, they find that sometimes they dream about things that happen later, usually within a few days. These dreams suggest that we can be linked to our futures. We dream about things that have not yet happened. But such links to the future are much rarer than links to the past. In dreams, we are continually connected to our pasts, and dreams also take us into wider realms of possibility than our waking lives. Many things are possible in dreams that are not possible here. Many people experience themselves as flying in their dreams. Some children dream that they can float up and down stairs, as I did, and some fly away beyond their own homes, as I did. Flying dreams seem to become less frequent as we grow up, judging by my own experience, and what my family members and friends have told me. You can find out for yourself. Think of your own experience. Did you have flying dreams as a child? Do you have them now? Ask people you know if they have flying dreams, or if they have flying dreams as a child. I suspect you will find that such dreams are fairly common, and more common in children than in adults. Perhaps the experiences of flying children underlie Baroque images of childlike cherubs with wings, flying children, including dead children, who flew away when infant mortality was high. There are flying children in classic fairy stories such as Peter Pan. In Harry Potter, there are flying games on broomsticks. And what was once a fantasy is now mundane. Anyone can fly in everyday life thanks to planes. Some people find that they wake up within their dreams while they're still dreaming. They are dreaming and aware that they are dreaming. These so-called lucid dreams enable them to exert much more control over the dream than in an ordinary dream, sometimes including the ability to fly at will to places they want to visit. It is possible to cultivate the ability, and in the Hindu and Tibetan Buddhist traditions, this is an ancient spiritual practice called dream yoga. Many things happen in our dreams. Some dreams are scary, some comforting, some long, drawn-out anxiety scenarios, some blissful, some erotic, some visionary. And there are many kinds of beings in our dreams, including animals, other people, insects, monsters, dragons, deceased relatives, saints, angels, gods, and goddesses. Many of these dream themes are not based on our own personal experience. A study of the dreams of young children in New York City found that they had frequent nightmares that involved being chased by ferocious animals or monsters, rather than dreaming of the danger of being run over on a road or other realistic hazards of modern urban life. But their inherited dreams would have been very relevant to the experiences of children 100,000 or 1 million years ago, when they lived in fear of tigers, cave bears, or other predators. The God of the Abrahamic religion sent messages through dreams and visions. He did so to Abraham, as in Genesis 15. Abraham's grandson Jacob, also known as Israel, had a famous visionary dream in which he saw a ladder stretching between heaven and earth with angels ascending and descending on it. That was called Jacob's ladder, as in Genesis 28. Joseph, the son of Jacob, rose to high office in Pharaoh's Egypt through his gifts in interpreting dreams, and was able to provide food for his 11 brothers when they and their father were starving in a famine. Skillful dream interpretation saved the lives of all 12 of Israel's sons and the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel. Many years later, during the captivity of Jewish people in Babylon, the prophet Daniel interpreted the dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, and as a result rose to great power. In India, one of the many cosmological myths is that the god Vishnu lay down to sleep and dreamed. Our world is his dream. By dreaming his dream, Vishnu sustains the universe. When he wakes from his dream, a cycle of creation ends. The universe disappears. But he can dream another one. In Europe, 25,000 years ago, the imagery in the paintings on the cave walls of animals and strange human-animal hybrids looked like visionary creatures seen in psychedelic visions or in trances induced by drumming, chanting, and dancing. At the very dawn of pictorial art, visions were turned into images. In turn, These images would have helped to fuel further visions and dreams in a shared mental realm. Dreams take us into self-luminous mental realms that are more or less far removed from our waking lives and experiences. Psychedelics help propel our mind into highly visual realms that are akin to dreams and visions. In this context, it is not surprising that psychedelic experiences quite often involve encounters with seemingly autonomous beings, as well as travelling into other realms. These realms are all ultimately made of mind, but not purely made of our own minds, or even the collective human minds, but of many kinds of minds. And in the view of most religions, all these beings have a common source, a consciousness that lies behind them all, and sustains them all, the mind of God, or Brahman, or the All.